Good evening, friends, and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you today, and I'm joining you from Creve-Coeur Lake. Now, if you've been to Creve-Coeur Lake over in St. Louis County, you know that it's often really, really busy, especially on a nice day like today. We're in the nice part of spring. We've had some rainy days, but here it is, a beautiful day, a little breezy, but a beautiful day. This lake and the park around it is usually packed. Yet you see me here, and there's not a whole bunch of people around, and you might think, are you sure you're at Creve-Coeur Lake, Tim? Well, that's because I'm on one of the little quiet nooks of Creve-Coeur Lake. If you just pull in and you look for the sign that says Creve-Coeur Lake Park, and you pull in and you go into the parking lot, you're going to be around all sorts of people, and it's going to be really quite busy. But if you actually probe around a little bit and look for the places where you can work your way through the park, where it's not just the immediate first place you land, what do you find? You can find a few spots like this where it's not constantly just total commotion all over the place. And myself, being a bit of an introvert, I think that's really nice. It's nice to be able to get away from all the hustle and bustle. But it takes a little bit of curiosity. It takes a desire to find that quietness, to get off the beaten path just a bit. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about our series that we're going through right now in Proverbs, this is proverbially speaking, and we're looking at Proverbs chapter 25, it struck me as it describes what a good leader looks like, how much it's like what it takes to find a good place in a popular park. Because whether it's Creve-Coeur Lake or any number of other wonderful parks in the area, if you go to the really obvious just main entrance area, you're usually going to be around a bunch of people. But if you're willing to explore and to be a little curious, you can find something so much better. And I believe as God's word speaks about good leadership qualities, what it's calling us to is to look for leaders and to be leaders who are curious enough to find the good that God wants us to find. How can we do that? How can we not just settle for being in the hustle and bustle when there's a beautiful little spot you can pull off and really enjoy the lapping water and the blowing breeze through the trees and so on without all kinds of noise and commotion and car stereos and so on? How often do we settle? And how often do we settle both as we lead others and as we choose leaders for those that lead us to those busy, hustling, bustling places and aren't curious enough to find a place like this? Because this is truly, truly lovely. Well, let's pray that we would be a curious people and we would seek those who are curious in God-pleasing ways to lead. Let's ask God as we meditate on his word tonight that he'd help us to do that. Will you join me? Lord, we pray that as we study your word tonight, that you would help us to see how you value good curiosity. Sometimes curiosity can be dangerous. Sometimes curiosity can lead us to places you don't want us. And yet you have also made us people who are inquisitive, people who have minds that can seek out knowledge and truth and wonder at your world. You help us to see that you value that. That is a good thing. And because that we see that, that then we can be those who encourage that. Do that ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. So we're going to start in verse 2. We looked at verse 2 last time, but we're going to pick up there because it tags on to verse 3 that we'll be looking at in a moment. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out." What we see in that is really an acknowledgement that God has made people, especially when we're in leadership positions. We're talking about a king here, but as we talked about last week, it's not only kings. And over the next few weeks, this, the first part of Proverbs 25 is thinking a lot about leadership. It's going to keep talking about kings, but we should think so much more broadly than that. As we think about leadership, God values curiosity. God values those who aren't just satisfied to say, well, I guess it's just this way, and I'm going to leave it put. God wants leaders who lead us to the quiet, peaceful, refreshing side of the lake. So often, when we think about leadership, we don't really value that. We value leaders who do what? Who make us feel okay in the moment. And the funny thing is, now, if I want to feel okay in the moment, I've been really stressed, I'd much rather be in a place like this, even as the wind is blowing. It's going to rain, I believe, in a few minutes, so hopefully I'll make it here in time. I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe in this moment I would be more peaceful if I were inside our normal little studio setup. Wouldn't be worried about the rain. Yet we wouldn't be getting to enjoy this scene together, enjoy this moment at the lake together. And so there is a value in curiosity, even though at times it doesn't necessarily leave us as settled in the moment. But that's often what we want in a leader, is just to settle us in the moment. We're not thinking of, well, it'd be so refreshing if I were by the lake enjoying the lap of water. I'd feel secure if I just don't even venture there, because maybe it will rain. Maybe the wind will blow. Maybe the plane's going to fly overhead and interrupt. I don't know. And so we seek out those who aren't particularly curious, because at least we feel secure. Why does God challenge us in what good leadership looks like? Because we don't seek after good leadership. We say we do. We want good leadership. But here's the thing that we need to start off with. If we go with our knee-jerk heart reaction to leadership, we are going to seek after leaders who make a secure feeling in the moment rather than leaders who are guiding us to where we ought to be. That's not saying that leaders should make us constantly unsettled. And it's not saying that good leadership, if we're leading people, whether it's your family or employees at your work or your neighborhood association or whatever it might be that you're involved in, it doesn't mean you should constantly be stirring up an unsettled feeling. That's not the point. But that being settled isn't the ultimate goal in itself. It's actually dangerous when a leader is just seeking after making us all feel settled. That's generally going to speak about a leader who is not a strong, courageous leader, but a dull leader. May not appear dull, because sometimes what we think of as making us feel settled is a leader who is very aggressive, a leader who will speak boldly against those that we think are our enemies. And so we say, well, I'm not seeking after a dull leader. I picked out someone, or I'm being someone who's very aggressive and taking the fight to where it needs to be. Sort of like this pollen. Taking its fight to where it doesn't need to be. But in that moment, what's that leader doing? That leader is appealing to what makes us feel comforted. That leader is appealing to what we think is strength. And so the leader really is making us feel settled, even though our sort of superficial analysis is, oh, here is a powerful leader. Oftentimes it's actually someone who's a very dull leader in reality. That's not what God wants. God wants genuine curiosity, not just in general, but curiosity about his truth. Yes, his truth about the world. If we're talking about secular leaders, if we're talking about leaders in a business or a community, a lot of it may be seeking after simply the truth of this wonderful world that he's created, but also in that leader's heart, king, governor, mayor, president, community association, board of directors, it doesn't matter, whatever it might be, just leading your family, someone who's also curious about God's truth, someone who doesn't want to just have pat answers and immediately be able to say, well, you know, I think God would like this. Someone who actually wants to seek after both how God has made the world and what God says in his word. Curiosity about God's word and his world. And when we find someone who does that, there may be questions that leave us unsettled. Because sometimes the godly question is, are we doing the thing we ought to do? Yes, this feels right. Yes, this is what I want. Yes, this is what I'm hoping for. But am I doing what God actually wants? That can leave us profoundly unsettled. And in the moment, it doesn't feel like we're actually pursuing the sort of leadership that we want. Something goes a little awry. Something's unexpected. Again, being outside here, there's all kinds of stuff happening as we're recording. There's people walking by, cars doing things. Although this is a much more peaceful spot than if I were on the other side of the lake, you'd be hearing all kinds of noise. But it would feel so much more settled if I were just in my normal spot. That's what we want. That's a perfect picture, I think, of what we generally want in every aspect of life. We might be people that like to say we're adventurous, but then we want a normality to our adventurous behavior. We want whatever secure routine fits us. So what this is encouraging us to isn't just constantly turning everything upside down. It's not encouraging us to go lock ourselves in some place nice and secure. What it's saying is we should constantly be probing, what does God want? Because the status quo, whether it's wild and adventurous or very calm and staid, can actually be a very much of a routine either way. And God wants us to actually be asking the question, what does he want? What is his truth that applies in our current situation and the situations to come? And when we're talking specifically about leaders, what should we value? Those who are constantly wanting to return to those questions, who are willing to unsettle themselves and explore that, because we should value leaders that aren't satisfied, just say, hey, everything's okay, or I already have everything figured out. We should want leaders who are profoundly curious and never convinced they already know everything. When we run into that person who feels like he or she already knows everything, already has the answer and doesn't need anyone to offer insight or advice, doesn't need to spend time in prayer trying to discern God's will, doesn't spend time just asking new questions, we should be profoundly scared. That isn't good leadership. It might feel like it, but it isn't. Nor should we seek after leaders who are just like us and are, if we're satisfied with everything, they're satisfied with everything. What's God really saying here about kings? And we've been that's sort of the context, that even though we're expanding it and it does apply more broadly, what God's saying about kings is that we should value kings who are actually better than us, who are more curious, who are more able to explore. And sometimes I think what we really want, and this has been borne out in polling when we look at our politicians, people want someone they'd invite over to a barbecue. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We should want leaders who are actually relatable, who actually care about people and could sit down and have a conversation with them. But what we should really want are people who are, we're constantly reaching for people who are wiser than us, who are more insightful than us, who can help us see things that we're blind to. It's not what we do, though, because again, we want that comfort. We want that stability. Even if it's causing us to miss out on the beauty of some place we could be, that leaves a lot of variables in motion because we're not quite sure how the individual setting is going to turn out. We have different things come up in our lives. We have different settings come in the different seasons and how our world is constantly changing. I mentioned last night the Northern Lights, and it's been interesting watching everyone trying to get a picture of that. Another thing that's been coming up a lot lately in the conversation in our world are the two broods of cicadas that are supposed to be coming out over the next few weeks, and how it hasn't happened in approximately 200 years that you've had these two broods out at the same time, because one is a brood of cicadas that stays underground for 13 years between times they emerge, and another is 17 years. And so it takes about a 200-year cycle for them to happen to coincide and emerge at the same time. And so people have been talking about the cicada apocalypse and all the cicada songs we're going to be hearing, and I'm excited to see that progress over the next few weeks, but it fascinates us. It also makes a lot of people, you see, the questions, are they going to bite me, or are they going to kill my plants? We start to feel destabilized because, well, I haven't been through this before. What's it going to be like? I looked up the question, can a cicada bite me? Will it try to attack me? And apparently, they don't have normal mouth parts because they're not carnivorous. They're not, or they don't feed on leaves. They feed on sap of trees, and they have a little piercer that can pierce into the roots primarily because they spend most of their lives underground, pierce into the roots and take some of the sap. And then apparently, even this kind of neat, they can actually, then they have this chemical in their mouths they can inject, and it seals off the root again so it doesn't just keep leaking sap where they were feeding. Someone described it as putting the cork back in the bottle. Kind of a neat thought. But they also can do that as adults. As they're flying around, they can land on a branch of a tree and feed off the sap of the tree there as well. Now, can they bite them? That's the question, right? I'm unsettled. I don't know what to do with this. Are they going to bite me? Well, apparently the answer is if you do grab onto a cicada that's on your hand, it may try to pierce your skin because of what? Well, cicada just came out of the ground. It's never seen this world from above ground before, and it might think that you're a tree, and it may try to see if it can get any sap off of you. It's not going to try to attack you, and when it realizes that you don't have any sap, it's going to move on. It's not trying to attack you. It's not going to inject venom. It's going to say, well, that was unfortunate. I didn't get any sap out of this, and move on. But as it does that, what's it doing? It's being curious. It's trying to explore the world because it needs to figure out, well, where do I find sap above ground? And it's going to try different things until it finds what it needs. Two lessons we can learn from our cicada friends there. Well, for one, we should be curious. If you're a cicada above ground for the first time, you need to figure out where the sap is. Second thing, though, don't keep feeding off of unhealthy resources. Sometimes our curiosity, we just plow into, I'm going to be curious, and we start feeding off of something that can't actually feed us. And I was reading one article about this that was saying, well, if the cicada were to keep feeding off a human being, it'd probably kill it because it can't digest blood. That's not what it's looking for. Blood is thicker than the tree sap and would actually probably kill it. So if it did latch onto you and start, it pierced your skin and it said, well, I'm just going to keep going because I've grabbed onto whatever this is. I don't know if it's a tree or not, but I'm just going to keep going. It'd probably die. And sometimes our curiosity will lead us to at least spiritual death, quite frequently, actually, because we just keep feeding on things that are unhealthy. We say, I'm going to plow ahead, even though I don't think this is what I should be feeding on, even though I know this is not what I'm supposed to be feeding on. I've been underground feeding on roots for years. I know this isn't tree sap, but I'm just going to keep going anyway. Our unfortunate solution oftentimes then, though, is to go back to what I was describing at the beginning. I'm just going to go for stability then. I'm not going to seek the place where I can find the beautiful quiet spot on the lake. I'm going to just go into the parking lot with this car stereo booming and the horns honking and so on. Because what if I get off the road and I'm just lost? Well, the cicadas really are teaching us a lesson there because they do explore, but they also go and they find what is good and they hold on to that. That's what we need to do too. That's what God is calling us to. Curiosity is good as long as we know when to stop and when to keep going. It takes preparation. We need to feed off of God's word. The cicadas, they come out, they only come out for a few weeks. They only live above ground, flying around for just a few weeks. And yet here we have cicadas have been preparing for 13 years or 17 years that we're going to be seeing over these next few weeks. Preparing for all those years. Think about that. For just a few weeks. Are we willing to put that much preparation into the things that we do in life? I'm going to prepare by feeding off of God's word for years and years, even if it's just for that momentary opportunity to do what God's calling me to do. Sometimes we say, well, that's just too much preparation. I don't want to be that curious and put that much energy into exploring truth if it's only going to be for a momentary benefit. But just like the cicadas, God is often preparing us for those moments that just flash before us. And are we willing to prepare? as we listen, and I can even hear a few right now of those cicadas singing, and I think about the beauty of what God has made. God's often calling us to be preparing for that moment that we sing our song, and we're preparing to bring joy to other people or other cicadas. It takes a long time, and it feels maybe fruitless in the moment, but the key thing is we stay curious, but we also know when to stop. I think that's so important. We do that by being prepared. And that takes us to verse 3 now. As we think about the king's searching that we saw in verse 2, what do we see in verse 3? As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. What's being described there? Well, it's not describing a king whose heart is just senseless. Oh, it's unsearchable. There's nothing that you can make sense of this. No, what it's saying is the king just keeps going in his curiosity. A good leader keeps exploring, keeps trying to understand God's truth in his word and his world. And in doing so, stays a step ahead of what's needed. God calls us to prepare, to be a step ahead, to be ready for the things that he's preparing us for that we don't even understand yet. And that's where curiosity is a gift from God. When we're profoundly uncurious, and when we promote people to positions of leadership who are profoundly uncurious, what do? They just say, well, everything seems okay right now, so I don't need to ask questions. I don't need to explore. I don't need to try to understand what might be next because it seems okay right now. And so often what we see is that leads to situations where ultimately things fail. I saw that watching, I've written, as many of you know, for years on technology, and I remember right when smartphones like this iPhone here came out, and there had been Windows phones and Blackberries. And one of the striking things I remember in writing about the iPhone and the early Android phones, what we take for granted now is a smartphone, is that the people behind the Blackberry were profoundly uncurious. They didn't really want to know what it would be like to have a full screen phone or a phone that pushed the limits beyond sending messages and so on. They had their keyboard. People loved them. There were all these jokes about people being addicted to their Blackberries. And I remember reading an interview with one of the co-founders of Blackberry that said, well, those things are going to be a passing fad. We're not even worried about them. Within a couple of years, Blackberry was totally irrelevant. Why? Because they had something that seemed to be working well. It felt good to affirm that it was working well. And by the time they realized they needed to stay a step ahead, it was already too late. And whether we're leading a nation or a city or a church or a household, it's often too late if we're not constantly seeking to find that healthy sap that we need. God has made us curious. He's intended us to be curious. And when we keep that balance, because we're feeding not just off his world, but off his word, then even as we explore the world and those parts of our lives that we're called to do that, we have his word to guide us and say, wait a second, this isn't tree sap, this is blood. This is not healthy, it's going to kill us. And we stop. This unsearchability of the king isn't about just being unpredictable for unpredictability's sake. During that early smartphone revolution, there was also this really bizarre set of phones launched by Microsoft called the Kin 1 and Kin 2. I got to review them as part of what the magazine I write for, and they were interesting. They weren't particularly good, but they were interesting. They were kind of bizarre. They functioned in a bizarre way. They were different for the sake of being different. And within a few months, they quit making them because no one actually wanted them. They were just different. They weren't trying to actually be better. And sometimes I think we hear the message, we should be curious, we should stay a step ahead, and we say, well, we're just going to randomly do things. And that's not what's being called out here either. The king isn't just incoherently running around trying to run serpentine so someone doesn't shoot at him. No, what is the king doing? The king is using wisdom. The leader is using wisdom. All of us as we lead should be using wisdom so that we are getting closer to where God wants us. And so it's a balance. I'm not just going to change things to change things. I'm not going to just go crazy. But I'm also not going to say, well, everything seems stable at the moment. I don't care about seeking out where God wants me next. Now, how does this mesh with what we read elsewhere in Scripture? We might say, well, doesn't Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, Tim, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount on and off for the 2 years we've been meeting in person on Sunday nights, and I remember very clearly, what does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? That we shouldn't be spending all our time worrying because our Heavenly Father is caring for us, that we should be like the birds and the flowers He provides, and now you're saying we should stay a step ahead. It's about a balance. You see, what Jesus is referring to there is where we unnecessarily fret. We start trying not to stay one step ahead with the next task that God is giving to us, but we're trying to stay vastly ahead. We're trying to solve world problems that we don't have any control over. We're trying to figure out, well, where am I going to be in 5 or 10 years, and how do I solve all the problems that are going to be coming along with that? And we quickly collapse under the weight of things we cannot handle. And in fact, we often find, even if we try, and even if we come up with a great plan, that God has other plans, and that the broken world will derail our plans as well. Now, what are we called to? We are called to be prepared for the task that's right before us. When God sets something down in our life inbox, that we're ready to handle that next thing. And we keep asking questions. Not in a worried sense, because we want to understand more about God and His Word and His world and His calling specifically for us. Yes, Jesus says not to worry, but He also says in Matthew 10, verse 16, that we should be what? It's going to sound really familiar. You could complete it as I say it. We should be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. So did you hear me say as wise as? I know some of you were mouthing the words right there with me. As wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. How do those two things square? How do we talk about a ruler staying a step ahead, but trusting that God is the one that prepares and keeps things under control? We understand that God wants us to be thinking about and preparing for and doing the work to be ready for what He's laid ahead for us. We're just not fretting and trying to bring under control things that aren't within our control. We're understanding that we should be curious, we should be seeking out that tree sap, but that cicada, I believe, under the ground hasn't been worrying for the last 13 years or 17 years about what will happen when he or she emerges out of the ground. God has created all these amazing creatures around us that trust in what God has built them to do, and they just do it. That's what we're called to do as well. That's that balance. And if we think about these two verses, they're calling us to a balance. Because we can't always predict what's happening. It looked mostly blue when we started here. Starting to rain a little bit here. I don't know if it's going to pour down on me in a moment, and I'm thinking already, am I going to be able to wrap this up before I'm in a deluge? Because, well, I'm not the Weather Channel here. That's not my job to do that. I can't predict it. You can't predict what's going to happen in your life necessarily tomorrow, but we can know the things that are very clearly set before us. Maybe it's caring for your family. Maybe it's making sure that you're caring for the people that you supervise at work, or the kids that you're overseeing in a daycare, or the next set of jobs that you're going to go to, and you're going to work on someone's house, and you're going to repair something in it, and you're thinking about how to solve those problems that you know you're going to go to. In all those things, we should be curious about the things we actually know we're called to. And we do that by using that wisdom to know between sap and blood. Romans 16:19 says, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. That word innocent there is the same word that's used in that statement from Jesus in Matthew 10:16. I wonder if maybe Paul even knew that statement from Jesus and had it in mind as he said this. But notice here what we do. We should be curious about what is good. Our minds often want to go and be curious about what is evil. That's not what we should seek. That's that blood that's just going to poison our hearts and our minds. But we should be profoundly curious about what is good, how to move from the evil to the good. That's what a good king a good leader, and all of us in the capacities that we have to lead should be doing. Here on this lake, if I wanted, I'm not going to today on this windy day, I could get in a boat. There are boats that you can rent over on the other side of the lake. And if I were going to get into a boat, I could do several different things. I could say on the one hand, I'm going to go purchase a boat that says sold as is off of eBay. Some say a canoe on it says you cannot return it. It is as is. And I'm not going to even look at it. I'm just going to throw it in the water. I'm going to jump in that boat and go out into the middle of the lake. I'd say that's a profoundly dangerous sort of lack of curiosity. I might want to check and see if there's some holes in it first, because if I get to the middle of the lake and I sink, well, I do know how to swim, but it'd be unpleasant. And if I had, maybe I was going to take some pictures from the middle of the lake, I have my camera in the boat and so on, I'm going to lose that. That's going to be bad. On the other hand, I could say, well, I would like to take a boat out into the middle of the lake, so I am going to research how to build a boat, and I'm going to spend years building an unsinkable boat. It's not going to be like the Titanic. It's going to be truly unsinkable. I could spend the rest of my life trying to engineer that boat and never actually end up out on the water enjoying the beautiful lake that God has made. Both of those are dangerous choices. Both of those stop me from doing what God has called me to do. God calls us to be curious, but to be curious while trusting Him. God calls me to be curious, but to be curious for good things. And so what we see here is it's not the settled sense that we'd like. Just like we want leaders that just make us feel settled, so too we want a settled answer here. Oh, just don't worry about asking any questions, or go ahead full bore and just worry about everything. But God's calling us into attention. God's calling us to seek leaders who can dwell in that tension, a tension of, I need to seek after the good. I shouldn't go charging after the bad. I need to trust that God is in control, but I also need to actually be engage with the things that God has given me responsibility over and be seeking out how to know what to do next. We're looking at Proverbs of Solomon, and we think about what did Solomon at his best do when he encountered the very Lord of the universe. He asked for wisdom. Wisdom for what? That he could lead God's people well. He was asking for the ability to have that heart that constantly searched God's word in his world and did well with it. He handled it well, also did good with it. He was going to apply it in a way that was pleasing to God. And may that be what we do as well, that we understand that God has made us curious. He's made us curious with the intent that we charge after the good and flee the evil. May that be what all of us do today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, would you help us to be people who are curious in the right way? That we know when we've tapped into a supply of blood when we need tree sap, and we realize that we've tapped into something that isn't nutritious for us, that will kill us, and we turn away. We also don't just say, well, I don't know what's a tree and what isn't, and so we never seek any sap at all, and we just die because we're cut off from what we need for life. Will you make us curious about your word, where we constantly ask questions about it and seek it out? Would you help us to be curious about your world, that we constantly seek how you've placed us and gifted us in it, that we would know how to use the gifts you've given us well to serve your people and to see more people become your people as you call us to be your light in this world, that we would sing the beautiful songs you've prepared us to sing, that people would hear about your glory and your wonder and your love and come to know you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. If this was encouragement to you today, then I would ask you, would you please share it? Yes, sometimes we want to find that grotto that no one else is at and just enjoy the quiet. But when we're talking about studying God's word, we don't want people not to know about it. We want to make it exposed. We want people to hear about it. And so giving this video a like and a share, following our channel, subscribing to it on YouTube, using the different social media tools, that will help. And also, personal invitation. Consider whom it is that maybe is trying to figure out how to be curious, and you can invite them. Hey, I know where life-giving sap is. Let me help you find it. That's all of our calling. That's the calling that isn't for certain people, but truly is a calling for all of us. there's any way I can be praying for you today, you can use the number on screen, send in a text. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you have a question. I'd love to talk with you. It's a wonderful opportunity. Also, you can use the chat below in our wonderful church family. We can all join in and discuss together. Let me just remind you, on Sunday, we are beginning a brand new series in Luke 18 and 19. Jason and I are going to be going through that and studying that with you this summer. I am so excited as we look at parables and problems. It's going to be a great summer series, and I can't wait to start sharing that with you on Sunday. Also on Sunday, we have a special missionary during Sunday School Express. You will not want to miss, as we have a missionary who is here from the Philippines and will be sharing about the dangerous but amazing ministry God is doing through him. I know you'll want to join us 15 minutes after service for that. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.